Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today, the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and preoccupation. He mourns that we do not draw near to him. He grieves that we may have forgotten him. He weeps over our obsession with muchness and manyness. He longs for our presence. And he is inviting you and me to come home. To come home to where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And he welcomes us home. Home to serenity and peace and joy. Home to friendship and fellowship and openness. Home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. We do not need to be shy. God invites us into the living room of his heart, where we can put on old slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of his friendship, where chatter and batter mix in good fun. He invites us into the dining room of his strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight. He invites us into the study of his wisdom, where we can learn and grow and stretch and ask all the questions we want. He invites us into the workshop of his creativity, where we can be co-laborers with him, working together to determine the outcomes of events. And he invites us into the bedroom of his rest, where new peace is found and where we are known to the fullest. Well, these are not my words. These are the words of Richard Foster. He writes decades ago in his book, Prayer, The Heart's True Home. And last week, Pedram, in his preaching, said something that brought me straight back to this passage. He said, God is inviting us into the house of his heart. And I didn't get a chance to talk to Pedram about whether he had that from a book or whether that was something that just came out of his spirit for us. But the message we have today is different to the messages that we've had earlier in this series. Earlier in this series, we began in Matthew 21, where Jesus was calling his people to be a house of prayer in the temple, saying, "You've made this place a den of robbers." It was supposed to be a house of prayer. In fact, the church is not the church without prayer. We cannot claim to be the people of God empowered by his Spirit, the new ones bearing his name, if we do not pray. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, talking about the end times when God's Spirit will be poured out upon the church. He says, "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. That's what would characterize the people of God, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and they're asking for God to supply their needs, praying. We must pray. In Zephaniah chapter 3, the promise again, he said, I will purify the lips of the peoples. We know through Jesus and the gift of the Spirit that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. What an incredible vision, what an incredible promise. We must pray. And then we looked at the way Jesus taught us to pray. Pray like this and don't pray like that. And then last week, with the cursing of the fig tree and the promise that you will believe whatever you ask for in prayer, that you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, we're told to expect answers. But today, as we consider all of those things, we know that we cannot be motivated to pray more by must and should. And why aren't you? Jesus tells us we can pray because God is so good. If prayer is indeed like coming into the house of God's heart, this great imaginary picture that Richard Foster put before us with the dining room and the living room and the study and the workshop and the bedroom and the kitchen, then the foundations for that house can only be the goodness of God. I don't know if you've been in the CBD recently, if you're workplace is in there and you're one of the many who are now being told you need to come into work, stop working from home, and you've peeked through one of the holes in the various construction hoardings that are everywhere, and instead of seeing something being built up, what do you see? You see a ginormous hole in the ground. Because we know that however high you want to go, however strong you want something to be, you must go deep first to lay those foundations. We long to see revival here, there, everywhere, in our homes, in our hearts, in ourselves. Whatever we long to see built up in prayer must be built on the deepest and deepening foundations of knowing God as a good Father. A good Father. This passage today from Matthew 7, familiar, I'm sure, to many of you. But the emphasis here is less on the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, than the finding, the receiving, and the opening. Unanswered prayer was a problem just as much in the first century AD or BC as it is today in 21st century. It's not like they were being encouraged to pray because every time they did, everything that they said and asked for was dropped in their laps. And now that we are in the 21st century, 2,000 years later, it just doesn't work that way anymore. Absolutely not. Prayer for the people of God since the beginning of time has always been deeply complicated. Always. And it is for me and it is for you. And Jesus brings into that complexity. That complexity doesn't arrive later. Jesus brings into that complexity something incredibly simple. Whatever happens before you pray, while you're praying, after you pray, know this: God is good. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, or we might say broken, messed up, recipients of generational trauma, whatever it is, sin, selfishness, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus does not deny the complexity of prayer, and we'll talk about that a little more in a few moments. But the foundation for all prayer is that God is truly good. That what he gives you, how he listens to you, is never broken, is never selfish, is never withholding, is never absent. God is truly good. As an adult, it's quite, I'm going to use the word complicated so many times in this sermon, and that's unfortunate. I probably should have looked in a thesaurus first. It's messy, we'll go with that, when you're an adult thinking about parents. It's not cut and dried. It is complicated. When we think of a picture of a father and a child like this, we can know maybe on the surface what Jesus is trying to say. But when we think about our own families, our relationship with our parents now, whether they are, if they're still alive, or our parents before they passed away, and our relationship with our children, especially if they are young adults or adults themselves, is complex. It's much, much harder to think, how does God look after me as an adult? Because the way I relate to my parents now doesn't look like this. And books might tell you to identify which thing was missing in your upbringing, and that will tell you the way in which you're mistaken in how you relate to God. You know, my father was angry, and so I expect God to be angry. My father was absent, so I don't expect that God will be there for me. We are very complicated human beings. And that may be the case, but for most of us, it was a mixture of good and bad, of empathy and selfishness, of brokenness and doing the best they could. And it means that we've got almost no blueprint, no easy way of saying, it wasn't that, and so I need this. So hard for us to be able to say, God is like a good parent. Because it's hard to know in this broken world what that really looks like. But Jesus takes us to the first inkling of what a good parent is in the image of the giving of the bread and the fish. When Phoebe was young, we would go past the bakery on the way to kinder, And there were things called baby rolls. They were like really small, tiny dinner rolls. I don't know what purpose they had except for sounding and looking cute. And maybe that was it. And he wanted to buy them for the kid because it was so cute. I have some baby rolls. Jesus is saying, imagine, Megan, you bought a bag of baby rolls, you packaged them up, you're giving one to Phoebe for kinder, but at the last minute you decided to put a white stone in there. And so that when she went to open her lovely, yummy baby roll, she'd pick out. It's horrendous, right? I remember listening to a message where the preacher was saying, you know, and the kids, and they went to McDonald's, and imagine, and he said, Daddy, I want a Big Mac. And they get the bag, and then when the kid sinks her teeth into the Big Mac, it's a stone. And I had this kind of visceral reaction, like, I mean, maybe I was really hungry at the time, and so I'd kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, no. But also, how much does your heart long for someone to give you what you need? And for in this world of selfishness and me first, do you long for the Father to give you something more nourishing than a Big Mac or a baby roll, but something beautiful and nurturing? Something that will fill you and give you what you need. And so we hear that God is a God who does that, who gives us what we need. Because when you have unanswered prayer as the context for any learning about prayer, it can be easy to go to the conclusion that God is not good. God didn't care. God wasn't able. God is cruel. But Jesus says, you know what this glimmer of goodness and generosity is in your own life. How much more? My Father and yours. And so we must go to the scriptures, not to our own attempts of putting together what we think God as parent is. And when we do, we find that God is a parent because God creates and orders and sustains and listens and adjusts and disciplines and elects and protects and guides and provides and ransoms and saves and reconciles. And we find that he is patient and considerate, holy, discerning, compassionate, sensitive, caring, tender, gracious, forgiving, just, loving and kind, merciful, thoughtful, generous, powerful, wise, mighty and loving. We need to let the scriptures speak to us of one beyond our imagining. And Jesus calls us to pray because he is good. Now, the second context of this passage is not just unanswered prayer, but it is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has called his people to live in a radically holy, generous, humble, and powerful way. And then, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to leave it at be holy or be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Do you want to live in this way, in the way that humans will flourish? The things that God has designed for you to eat, the healthy Big Mac? I'm sorry. Then ask and I will help you. Seek and I'll show you the way. You want to come into this kingdom? Knock and the door will be opened to you. Come, if you desire to come into my house to receive everything that you need, as 2 Peter says, of his glory and goodness to help us to live as he wants us to live, just knock and the door will be opened. Not only is he a good father who cares for your needs, but whatever he calls you to do, whatever discipline, whatever vision he sets before you, he is ready to help you the entire way, to strengthen you, to be with you, to never leave you alone. The third context of this passage is the partnership that God is calling his free people into through prayer. So you will have heard many a time that sometimes God says no to prayers because it's not good for us, just in the same way as if I were giving Phoebe a Big Mac every day because she asked for it, I would not be a good parent. It's do as I say, not as I do. Some things God will do, God will accomplish, whether or not we ask him. That is the promise of Scripture. That is the trajectory of creation and salvation. You can't stop God's plan to win over evil, for love to triumph, for the resurrection of Jesus to fill all of created cosmos. You can't stop that. And you actually, you can pray into that for sure. But God is going to accomplish that because Jesus has done it. There are other things that God will not do, even if we ask him. Sometimes maybe it's because he has something better. Sometimes we don't know why. The only way we can sit with that is trusting that he is a good father. But some things he will only do if we ask him, because he honors the gift he has given us of being free collaborators in his great plan of creation and redemption. There is something in the, here it is again, complexity, complicatedness of prayer that respects our free will or agency or personhood, human power. And I don't know where that free will sits under the other things he will not do. I have to imagine that there is a both and there, because we know that God makes the willing out of the unwilling, that he breaks into someone's life without them already cooperating. Look at Paul on the road to Damascus. He's not seeking to repent first and have Jesus break in second. Jesus breaks in for the purposes, the salvation purposes of God, and for Paul's good, absolutely. So he does break in to the human will, no question. But in some way, he has also respected our choices. He does not force every human being to bow down and worship him. He does not. He does not stop someone hurting someone else. But the corollary of that, the other side of the coin, is that he's also chosen to use that free will that we have to accomplish certain things on the earth. That he wants us to pray. That he wants us to ask. He wants to know that we're hungry for a baby roll. He wants to know what we want. And the scriptures are full of stories of God adjusting, adapting, granting, providing because people asked. Have no doubt, if our prayerlessness stopped God from moving, we would be lost. And praise God that he is so good that he keeps putting food on the table even when we said we weren't hungry. Praise God. I can't speak for you, but I know for me, if it was up to my prayers providing everything that I needed, I would be sunk. It's hard for us to gather in prayer once a month at our encounter nights. Let's be honest about that. But by the grace of God, we are often provided for and he adds to our number. But what if there are some things that he is waiting for us to ask? We can only be motivated to do that, not by the preacher making us feel guilty, but because we know that God is so good. I want to come back to Richard Foster's words. The key to this home, this heart of God, is prayer. Perhaps you have never prayed before, except in anguish or terror. It may be that the only time the divine name has been on your lips has been in angry expletives. Never mind. I am here to tell you that the Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps you do not believe in prayer. You may have tried to pray and been profoundly disappointed and disillusioned. It's hard to get even the little faith you have to rise to the occasion. It does not matter. The Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps you are bruised and broken by the pressures of life. Others have wronged you and you feel scarred. You have old, painful memories that have never been healed. You avoid prayer because you feel you are too distant, too unworthy, too defiled. Do not despair. The Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps you have prayed for many years, but the words have grown brittle and cold. Little ever happens anymore. God seems remote and inaccessible. Listen to me. The Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps prayer is the delight of your life. You have lived in the divine milieu for a long time and can attest to its goodness, but you long for more. more power, more love, more of God in your life. Believe me, the Father's heart is open wide. You too are welcome to come higher up and deeper in. For some listening today, this is a hard day to hear a word on the goodness of God. And Jesus would say, come in. There is more comfort, more richness, more understanding, more peace, more joy for you. You have not exhausted it. It is still running fully and free. Father God is calling each one of us to ask, seek, and knock, to know him, to enter into the heart where he has everything we need, where we will find in him rest, provision, a feast of goodness. We're going to sing and we're going to prepare to take the Lord's Supper. As we come to the Lord's Supper today, would you imagine it as coming to ask, seek, and knock? Would you come to the Lord's Supper because God is good? And would you come asking for what you need to live the life that he has set before you? So let's stand, we're going to sing, and then I'll explain more what's happening.